Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with a series of short articles from AARP The Bulletin under the heading of In the News. Service cats? Dogs have long filled roles as helpmates for older people, but researchers at Washington State University and in Belgium found that some cats, with their attention-seeking and sociability, could also serve as service animals to relieve stress. Cats were skeptical. Next, we have non-opioid pain drug approved. People dealing with serious short-term pain have a promising new non-addictive option to get relief. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, approved Jornovex earlier this year, a first-in-its-class medication that works by blocking pain signals in the peripheral nerves before they reach the brain. That's different than opioids, which are considered highly addictive because they activate the brain's reward system. Jornovex is the first new type of pain medication to become available in more than two decades. Taken as a pill, it is approved to relieve short-term pain that typically stems from tissue injury as a result of trauma or surgery. More than 80 million Americans are prescribed medication for acute pain each year, according to Vertex Pharmaceuticals, the maker of Jornovex. But right now, about half of them receive opioids. The FDA called the approval an important public health milestone in acute pain management. A non-opioid pain reliever offers an opportunity to mitigate certain risks associated with using an opioid for pain and provides patients with another treatment option. More than 200 people on average died each day from an opioid overdose in 2022, says data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And opioids were misused by millions more. In two clinical trials, Jornovex demonstrated statistically significant pain reduction in patients who had routine abdominal or foot surgeries compared with a placebo. The most common side effects from the drug were itching, muscle spasms, and rashes. It's going to play a significant role, Dr. Cheng, MD, director of the Cleveland Clinic's Pain Medicine Fellowship Program, says about Jornovex. It doesn't eliminate pain as well as a strong opioid, he explains, but most people do not need very strong opioids, even for more severe pain. Jornovex has a list price of $15.50 per 50 milligram pill. Next, financial help for caregivers gains support. A proposal to give family caregivers a federal tax credit of up to $5,000 a year to help defray the costs of caring for a spouse or other loved one is before Congress, and advocates hope this time it will become law. Called the Credit for Caring Act, the proposal has bipartisan support in the House and Senate and is being pushed hard by advocacy groups, including AARP. America's family caregivers help their parents, spouses, and others stay at home, said Nancy Liamond, AARP Chief Advocacy and Engagement Officer. We urge Congress to put money back into pockets of hardworking family caregivers by passing the act. There are more than 48 million unpaid caregivers in the U.S., and they routinely dip into their savings each year to help family members with health issues. These caregivers spend an average of more than $7,200 annually on caregiving for loved ones, or $11,500 if they're caring for a veteran, according to AARP research. Caregivers provide about $600 billion in care annually in unpaid work, saving taxpayers billions of dollars by helping delay or prevent expensive nursing home care and hospital stays. Now, older adults miss out on food benefits. Nearly 60% of low-income older adults who qualify for federal food assistance through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, aren't using it, according to an analysis by AARP's Public Policy Institute. That means about 16 million adult Americans, 50-plus, miss out on help paying for food. Roughly 1 in 10 older adults have limited access to adequate nutritious food due to insufficient financial resources, AARP research found. Such food insecurity can lead to higher rates of diabetes, high blood pressure, heart failure, asthma, depression, and other illnesses. These findings point to the need for education and outreach about the program, as well as efforts at the federal and state levels to make it easier for older adults to access SNAP, says Olivia Dean, AARP senior policy advisor and co-author of the report. For example, simplifying and streamlining application processes could help more older adults get the food benefits they are eligible for. And finally in this section, Medicare, virtual visits extended for now. A popular Medicare program that allows beneficiaries to receive medical care from home will continue until September 30th, after its extension was included in a bill passed by Congress and signed by President Trump to avoid a government shutdown in March. The expanded telehealth coverage, which began March 2020, to help older adults from being exposed to COVID-19 in doctors' waiting rooms, has been a boon for those who have difficulty getting to an office to see a physician, including older adults living in rural areas or with mobility problems. Caregivers strapped for time to transport their loved ones also have benefited. Federal health officials say telehealth use remains at levels much higher than before the pandemic. Nearly three-quarters of adults 50 and older said they used telehealth services in the previous year, according to a 2024 AARP poll. The telehealth waiver extended when the public health emergency was declared over. But telehealth services have been extended by Congress in budget bills since then. Now I'm going to look at the next chapter in Psychology Now, Take Control of Your Mind for a Happier, Healthy Life. And today we're looking at discovering your optimism. Worn out by worrying and dwelling on the negative, it's time to turn things around. It can be hard not to let negativity seep into your day, especially during stressful periods of life. A dose of optimism not only makes you feel better, but it's also good for your physical and emotional health, even if initially you need to focus yourself or you need to force yourself to feel more positive. An optimistic person is always looking for the best in any situation and expecting good things to happen, says Kimberly Reed, author of Optimists Always Win. Even if something negative happens, such as the loss of a job, an optimist sees the silver lining. For example, the chance to pursue a more fulfilling career or hobby, or take a much-needed break. Optimists believe their actions result in positive outcomes, that they are responsible for their own happiness, and they can expect more good things in the future. If you are an optimist, then you are someone who tries to look for good in every situation. An optimist views adverse events, such as your car being broken into, redundancy, and so on, as a result of something outside of themselves, explains Kimberly. But even if it's something that happened as a result of an action they took, an optimist will always try to see what they can learn from the experience. They think of an unfortunate event as a temporary setback, not a permanent way of life. Even if something awful happens, a positive thinker believes good things will come again. Optimists look on the bright side, reveals psychologist Dr. Sandra Wheatley. They emanate a hopeful positivity. But being optimistic doesn't mean you go into denial and pretend everything is fine when it's not. It's a frame of mind where you hope for the best but prepare for the worst. She adds that an optimist can look at a situation squarely in the eye and plan what to do if things go wrong. By having a contingency plan, this makes it easier to turn things around before there's a huge problem. Get the optimistic mindset. Optimists tend to share several positive characteristics that can lead to greater happiness and promote good health, says Kimberly. An optimist thinks about, reflects on, and emphasizes the good things in life. Tries not to waste time and energy on complaining when something goes wrong, but instead focuses on what they can do to change or learn from a situation. Feels that nothing can hold them back from achieving success and reaching their goals. Sees challenges and obstacles as opportunities to learn. Feels gratitude for good bits, even in a negative situation. Has a positive attitude toward themselves and others. Is tenacious and carries on when the going gets tough. Don't let one bad experience color their expectations of the future. Accepts responsibility for their mistakes, but doesn't dwell on them. Is always looking for ways to make the most of any opportunities that come their way. There's a common assumption that optimism is the same as happiness, but that's not the case. While optimism can lead to greater happiness, it's actually to do with how you view the world, says Dr. Wheatley. Optimists experience difficulties and problems like anyone else. To be an optimist doesn't protect you from feeling negative emotions. If something bad happens, you still feel the pain, upset, grief, betrayal, or disappointment. It's just that an optimist mindset helps you cope better. In a recent Indian study, it was shown that optimists tend to have more effective coping strategies, which helps them to feel less stressed. Pessimists, on the other hand, have a tendency to dwell on stressful feelings, which can make them feel worse. So, what makes some people more optimistic than others? Some people are just born naturally optimistic. It's part of their genetic makeup, explains Dr. Wheatley. But your upbringing also has an impact. If you grew up in an environment where there was a focus on the positive, the likelihood is that this would have had an effect on your own attitude to life. Likewise, research shows that if you had a parent who was pessimistic or depressed, then you're far more likely to have a pessimistic outlook on life as an adult. But ultimately, optimism is a choice, and everyone can acquire a more optimistic mindset that will help you to face life's challenges and feel confident that you can expect positive things to happen in the future. Health benefits of being an optimist. Latest research shows that optimism is associated with a number of physical and psychological benefits. It's good for your heart. In a recent U.S. review of 15 studies that looked at 200,000 people, it was shown that optimists had a 35% lower risk of developing heart disease and a 14% reduced incidence of early death. It lowers your stress hormones. A study at Concordia University, Canada, asks participants to measure their daily stress levels. Optimists were found to have lower levels of stress hormones, such as cortisol. Pessimists, who were shown to go into fight or flight mode, more frequently triggered by negative thinking that exacerbated stress, had higher levels of hormones. When cortisol remains constantly elevated, this can lead to health problems. You'll recover better from illness. A positive mindset can help you to cope better with disease and recover better. In a recent study, it was shown that optimists had less inflammation and recovered more quickly after a stroke than those who had a more negative outlook. In another study published in the Journal of Psychosomatic Research in 2014, it was shown that optimism is associated with reduced pain and symptoms after heart surgery. You're more likely to live longer. Optimists likely live a longer life, 11 to 15% longer, and have a greater chance of reaching 85 years of age, compared to those who have a more pessimistic disposition. These are the findings from the Boston University School of Medicine study in 2019 that followed nearly 70,000 women and 1,500 men over a time span of 10 to 30 years. It can help you manage pain. According to a recent review, optimists who expect positive outcomes are better able to cope with and manage pain. It seems that a positive attitude can help reduce the perception of pain, whereas feeling negative, pessimistic, and depressed appears to have a more adverse effect on someone's experience of pain. For example, they find it more difficult to manage. And finally, it's an antidote to depression and makes you more resilient to stress. Another study in the Natural Medicine Journal in 2017 showed that people who are optimistic consider themselves as inherently protected, not vulnerable, and think about the world as a generally good place. They tend to be happier, have a lower chance of depression, and manage stress more effectively. They're more likely to practice healthy habits, such as exercising, following a healthy diet, and not smoking, and they are more likely to seek help if they need it than a pessimist would. And next time, we'll look at 7 ways to be more optimistic. Now, moving on to AARP, the magazine, there was a health special, and it focuses on different parts of your senses. And today we're going to look at listening today, hear better tomorrow. Mike Mullins, a guitarist in Farmington, Minnesota, started losing his hearing around age 50. One Christmas, while attending a concert with my brothers, I thought the flutist was off key, said the 76-year-old. My brothers assured me she was pitch perfect. That's when I realized my hearing loss was affecting not just my musical career, it was impacting all aspects of my life. He visited the ENT team at the Ohio State University Medical Center and was fitted with a cochlear implant, which he said gave him a renewed connection to others. What to expect in your 70s and beyond? Everybody's hearing slowly and gradually declines over our lifetimes, said Frank Lynn, MD, director of the Cochlear Center for Hearing and Public Health at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. The cochlea, the part of the inner ear that transmits sound to the brain, contains cells that do not regenerate. Over time, those cells naturally die off, resulting in a gradual age-related hearing loss. By age 65 to 74, an estimated 1 in 3 U.S. adults have lost enough that hearing aids could be beneficial. The pace at which hearing loss develops is different for each of us. Past sound exposure, think years of concerts or mowing the lawn without protection, family history and medication use, some drugs like those used in chemotherapy can damage ear cells, can all affect our hearing. Hearing loss is also cumulative. Your hearing status later in life is highly influenced by the events that happen across your lifespan, says Lori Pakulski, an audiologist and professor at the University of Toledo. High frequencies are disappearing. Gradual hearing loss begins as early as our 20s, with high frequencies the first to degrade, Lynn says. But most of us don't notice it until our 40s or 50s, in part because our brains do such a good job of compensating for diminished hearing by filling in the gaps, sometimes with the help of visual cues and lip movements. As we get older, we begin to rely more and more on these compensatory approaches. It gets harder to distinguish between sounds. As we approach our 60s, many people find that it's more difficult to hear in noisy situations. It sounds like people are mumbling at you. You're leaning in more to hear, says Lynn, who at 48 is aware of this happening with him. You may experience phantom sounds. About 1 in 4 people aged 65 and up develop tinnitus, a ringing, buzzing, or roaring in the ears that can be temporary or permanent. It can be triggered by infections, injuries, or medications, but is often associated with hearing loss, as the brain can generate phantom sounds to compensate for reduced auditory function. An audiologist or an otolaryngologist can suggest treatments like sound therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy for more severe cases. You may need a hearing boost. When you have untreated hearing loss, your brain cells are less active, says Leslie Soils, chief audiologist at Hearing Life, a national chain of audiology centers. But improved hearing may reduce dementia risk by up to 50%. For mild loss, try amplifiers such as JLab's Hear OTC, hearing aid and earbuds, or AirPods Pro 2's Conversation Boost feature, which Lynn uses to hear conversations at noisy parties. Companies like Essilor Luxottica are making glasses with hearing boosting built in. Hearing aids are inconspicuous, and OTC options are often less expensive and just as effective as prescription aids for mild to moderate hearing loss. Now we have a sidebar here. Protect your hearing. Sound advice you should listen to now and in the future. Establish a baseline. As an AARP member, you qualify for a free annual hearing assessment. Use your AARP login to register at nationalhearingtest.org. Invest in high-quality earplugs. High-fidelity earplugs, like the ones musicians wear, block out loud noises but allow you to hear others. Loop, decibels, D-E-C-I-B-U-L-L-Z, and Eargasms are popular brands. Download a decibel meter app and use it to monitor sound levels, measured in decibels or dB, around you. Try Decibel X, NIOSH, that's N-I-O-S-H, Sound Level Meter, or Sound Meter. Sound at 85 decibels, lawnmowers, can damage your hearing after 8 hours. Every additional 3 decibels cuts your safe listening time in half. Check your phone's volume settings. Set it to no more than 60% of the maximum levels. You can also download one of several apps that allow you to set volume limits on your phone. Block the sirens. You're not being paranoid plugging your ears when a fire truck goes by. A siren can expose you to 110 to 129 decibels and cause damage in less than a minute. Daily, take snoring seriously. Snoring can reach up to 100 decibels. If your partner saws logs, they may be harming their own hearing and yours. Urge them to see a sleep specialist. Know when you're at risk. If you have to raise your voice to be heard at arm's length away from somebody, that's a situation where you're going to want to protect your ears, said Lynn. Use noise-canceling earbuds or headphones. They can be more expensive, but they allow you to listen to music or podcasts in a noisy environment without having to crank the volume. Apple, Samsung, and Boyes also all offer them. Eat a Mediterranean diet. One study found that adults 50 and up who reported eating a diet high in produce, nuts, and beans had a 36% lower risk of high-frequency hearing loss. A diet rich in lean protein may also help ward off tinnitus. Watch for side effects. Some common drugs, including loop diuretics for high blood pressure, antibiotics, and some NSAIDs, can cause hearing loss. Talk with your doctor if you're concerned. If you notice changes in hearing or balance, tell your doctor right away. weekly. Take up a medication, a meditation practice. In one study, 50% of participants who engaged in an 8-week mindfulness meditation program noted reduced stress from tinnitus. Stress can worsen symptoms. Establish an aerobic fitness plan. Research has shown that those with high cardiovascular fitness delayed the onset of noticeable hearing loss by approximately 5 years. Yearly, keep up with hearing tests so you're aware of how things are progressing. Visit an audiologist if you experience a noticeable decline. Now, from a section entitled Real People, let's look at Last Chance for Love, the dogs that no one wants but him. After he lost his own elder pup, Steve Grieg made room in his life and his heart for many more. Wolfgang was one of a kind, a little red miniature pinscher. He accompanied his owner, Steve Grieg, on hikes and kayak trips, to weddings and birthday parties. For 12 years, the two were inseparable, and then in 2012, Wolfgang was killed by a car. "It just tore me apart," said Grieg, 61, a retired accountant. "I mourned for months." Trying to make sense of the loss, he went to a shelter and asked to adopt the oldest dog they had, the one most in danger of being put down. If Wolfgang's death meant that another dog would be allowed to live, maybe his loss would be a little easier to bear and his death would have meaning. Grieg explains, he took home a 12-year-old Chihuahua with a heart murmur and 4 bad knees. On the ride home, Eeyore was sitting on my lap looking out the window, his tail wagging a million miles an hour, Grieg recalled, and just like that, the cloud lifted. The high was addictive, and Grieg adopted more. He usually has about 9 dogs, making sure to give each of them individual attention. If a dog dies, he adopts another. Grieg lived in Denver, but 2 years ago he moved to Newark, Ohio to be near friends, and he bought an historical mansion that he's renovating. There's room there for everybody, he says. Grieg has co-authored a book called The One and Only Wolfgang, From Pet Rescue to One Big Happy Family, and his Instagram account has more than 1 million followers. He's happy to share the joy of older dogs. People write me all the time and tell me that after seeing my dogs, they decided to save a life. He says, that tells me I am doing the right thing. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.